This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Tension management tips for navigating conflict between a team member and an external stakeholder. A practical field guide for diffusing high-stakes friction before it costs you. In short, tension management tips matter most when a conflict crosses your organizational boundary. When a team member and an external stakeholder clash, you carry responsibility for both the relationship and the outcome. Act before positions harden, not after the damage is done. Keep each conversation focused on the shared goal, not the grievance. Your neutrality is your most valuable asset throughout the process. Definition: tension management tips are practical strategies for identifying, containing, and resolving interpersonal friction in the workplace before it escalates into formal conflict. In a team stakeholder context, this means actively managing the pressure between two parties who depend on each other, but do not share the same organizational loyalty. There is a particular kind of dread that comes with watching a valued team member and an important external stakeholder start to pull against each other. I saw it happen on a major infrastructure project years ago. A project coordinator on my team and a senior contact from the client organization had a miscommunication about a deliverable deadline. Neither raised it directly. Instead, they began copying more people into emails, shortening their replies, and routing requests around each other. By the time it reached me, what had started as a scheduling disagreement had become a grievance on both sides. The repair took 3 times longer than the original problem would have. That is the cost of late intervention. Tension management tips are only useful if you apply them before the frost becomes ice. This guide gives you a clear process for handling exactly this kind of friction from the moment you sense something is wrong to the point where both parties are working productively again. Why this type of conflict is harder to manage than internal disputes. When two colleagues within your team clash, you hold significant influence over both of them. You can set expectations, change workflows, and follow up directly. The conflict stays inside a shared structure. When the friction involves an external stakeholder, that structure disappears on one side. You cannot manage the stakeholder the way you manage your own people. They answer to different priorities, different pressures, and a different leadership chain. What looks unreasonable to your team member may be perfectly logical from the stakeholder's vantage point, and vice versa. There's also a relationship at stake that extends beyond the immediate disagreement. External stakeholders often represent clients, partners, or suppliers whose goodwill affects your whole organization. Handling the conflict clumsily does not just damage one working relationship, it can damage trust that took years to build. If you are wondering how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's progress, this kind of cross-boundary friction is one of the hardest starting points, because you have to begin 2 conversations before you can have the one that matters. What you need to have in place before you intervene. Do not step into this without 2 things firmly established. First, you need a clear understanding of the shared goal that both parties are meant to be serving. If you cannot articulate what success looks like for both sides in 1 plain sentence, you're not ready to mediate. That shared goal is the ground you will return to every time the conversation drifts toward blame. Second, you need your own emotional neutrality. If you privately agree that the stakeholder is being unreasonable, or that your team member handled something badly, you will signal that in the room. Both parties will sense it. The moment either person suspects you have already taken a side, your ability to help them reaches its end. Prepare yourself to hold both perspectives with equal respect, even when one of them frustrates you. A step-by-step process for managing the tension. Step 1. Observe before you act. Resist the urge to intervene the moment you notice friction. Give yourself enough time to see the pattern clearly. Is this a one-off clash or a recurring dynamic? Is the tension about a specific issue or something more diffuse? Watch the communication between them. Notice what is being said, what is being avoided, and who is escalating. This is not passivity, it is preparation. You're gathering the information you need to intervene effectively rather than prematurely. Step 2. Meet each person separately first. Before you bring anyone together, speak to each party alone. This is not optional, and the order matters less than the intent. Both people need to feel genuinely heard before they can hear each other. In your conversation with your team member, ask open questions and listen fully. Try this framing. I have noticed some tension in the communication with stakeholder name lately. I want to understand your experience of it before I do anything else. Can you walk me through what has been happening from your side? Then stay quiet and listen without defending, correcting, or explaining the other party's position. Repeat this with external stakeholder, using a similar approach. Make clear you are not there to arbitrate or assign fault. You are there to understand. Step 3. Identify the actual source of the friction. After both conversations, sit with what you have heard. Most tension between a team member and an external stakeholder falls into one of three categories: a factual dispute about what was agreed, a process breakdown about how information flows, or a personality clash rooted in communication style differences. The category matters because the remedy is different for each. A factual dispute needs a shared record of what was actually agreed. A process breakdown needs a clearer workflow. A personality clash needs reframing and often a restructured way of working together that reduces unnecessary friction points. Mixing up the categories is one of the most common ways that well-intentioned interventions make things worse. For situations where the conflict has already fractured the working relationship significantly, the DEAL method for resolving conflict that fracture team synergy offers a structured approach worth applying alongside this process. Step 4. Bring both parties together with a clear agenda. When you convene the joint conversation, do not leave it open-ended. Send a brief agenda before and so neither person is caught off guard. Name the purpose plainly to find a path forward that works for both sides, not to revisit the history of grievances. Open the meeting by grounding everyone in the shared goal. Say something like, "We are all here because project/outcome matters to all of us. My aim today is to make sure we leave with a clear, agreed way of working together. I'm going to ask each of you to speak without interruption, and then we will focus on what comes next." Set that tone early and hold it throughout. If either person starts to relitigate the past, bring them back. "I hear that. Let us keep our focus on what we are going to do differently from here." Step 5. Build the agreement. The joint conversation is only successful if it produces something concrete. A vague sense that things are better is not an agreement. It is a postponement. Work toward 3 specific commitments: what each party will do differently, how they will communicate when friction arises again, and when you will check in together to confirm things are on track. Write this down and share it with both parties after the meeting. The act of writing it matters. It signals that this is a real agreement, not a polite conversation. It also gives you something to reference if the tension resurfaces, which it sometimes does. Step 6. Follow up without making it feel like surveillance. Check in with each person individually within a week. Keep it brief and warm. Ask how things feel, whether the agreed approach is working, and whether anything needs to be adjusted. This follow-up is where many people fall short. They do the hard work of the mediation and then step back, assuming the problem is solved. But the relationship is still fragile at this point. A brief, genuine check-in signals that you care about the outcome, not just the process. It also catches any backsliding before it becomes entrenched. When the conflict is happening remotely, remote settings add a layer of complexity that is worth addressing directly. Without the natural social cues of physical proximity, tension between a team member and an external stakeholder can fester invisibly for longer. People are less likely to raise friction informally when the informal moments of a shared office do not exist. In a remote context, move your step 2 conversations to video rather than phone or email. You need to see each person's face to gauge how much emotional weight they're carrying. Keep your camera on and ask them to do the same. For the joint conversation in step 4, consider whether a video call is sufficient or whether the nature of the conflict warrants a face-to-face meeting, even if it requires travel. Some tensions genuinely cannot be resolved through a screen. Trust your reading of the situation. Running productive meetings that do not waste time becomes especially important in this context. A poorly structured remote mediation feels even more chaotic than an in-person one, and neither party will leave it feeling resolved. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emunblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when managing this type of tension. These are the errors I have seen most often, and made myself more than once. The mistake: sharing one person's frustrations with the other during the separate conversations. why it happens. It feels like honest communication, even helpful context. What to do instead? Treat what each person shares with you strictly confidential unless they explicitly give you permission to pass it on. Breach this once, and you lose both parties' trust permanently. The mistake: framing the conflict as one person's fault, even privately, and letting that judgment shape your mediation. Why it happens. Sometimes one party genuinely did behave badly. It is tempting to skip neutrality and just fix it. What to do instead? Even if one person bears more responsibility, your job is to repair the working relationship, not to adjudicate. Holding your neutral position produces better outcomes than being right. The mistake: rushing to the joint conversation before both parties feel individually heard. Why it happens. The joint meeting feels like the real work, so people skip the preparation. What to do instead? The separate conversations in step 2 are not optional groundwork. They are the intervention. People cannot hear each other in a room together when they do not yet feel understood. The mistake: leaving the joint conversation without a written agreement. Why it happens. The conversation ends on a positive note, and it feels unnecessary to formalize it. What to do instead? Always close with a written summary of the 3 commitments. Good feelings fade. Agreements on paper do not. For word-for-word scripts to de-escalate tension with a colleague before it becomes a conflict, you will find specific language you can adapt for the early stages of this process. Your pre-intervention wellness checklist. Use this before you take any action. If you cannot answer yes to each item, you are not ready to intervene. Number 1. I can name the shared goal that connects both parties in one clear sentence. Number 2. I have observed the pattern of tension for long enough to understand whether it is a one-off or recurring. Number 3. I have examined my own biases and can hold both perspectives with equal respect. Number 4. I have scheduled separate conversations with each party before any joint meeting. Number 5. I know which category the friction falls into: factual dispute, process breakdown, or communication style clash. Number 6. I have a structured agenda prepared for the joint conversation. Number 7. I am prepared to leave the joint conversation with 3 specific written commitments. Number 8. I have a follow-up check-in scheduled within 1 week of the joint conversation. Print this. Keep it close. The pressure of the moment has a way of making you skip the steps you know matter most. The Dale method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate pairs well with this checklist when the resistance between parties is especially entrenched. Giving and receiving honest feedback also plays a role in how these tensions form in the first place. If the culture in your team makes effective feedback the backbone of workplace growth, people tend to raise friction earlier, before it calcifies into conflict. And knowing how to deliver negative feedback positively gives you the language you need when part of the resolution involves addressing someone's behavior directly. The moment that decides everything. Here is the truth of it. The most important decision you will make in this entire process is the one you make before you do anything at all, the decision to act early. Every week you wait, the positions on both sides harden a little more. The tone of emails cools. The assumptions about the other party's motives become more fixed. What could have been resolved with 2 conversations and a clear agreement becomes a case that requires months of careful repair. Tension management tips only have force when you apply them before the damage is deep. You already know what the first signal looks like: the slightly shorter reply, the CC'd manager who did not need to be there, the request routed around someone it should have gone to directly. That signal is your invitation to act. Trust it. These tension management tips work when you work them early and work them with genuine care for both sides. That is the whole of it. Frequently asked questions. What are tension management tips for stakeholder conflict? Tension management tips for stakeholder conflict focus on separating the people from the problem, creating space for both sides to speak, and finding shared ground. The key is to act early, stay neutral, and give each party a clear path forward before positions harden. How do you manage tension between a team member and a client? Start by meeting each person separately to understand their perspective without the other present. Then bring them together with a clear agenda and a shared goal to anchor the conversation. Keep the focus on the work, not the personalities, and agree on specific next steps before closing the meeting. What is the first step in tension management at work? The first step is to assess the situation privately before intervening. Speak to each person separately, listen without judgment, and identify whether the friction is about facts, process, or personality. Acting without this groundwork often makes the tension worse, not better. How do you stay neutral when managing conflict between your team and a stakeholder? Staying neutral means refusing to take sides, even privately. Acknowledge each person's frustration without agreeing that the other party is wrong. Focus every conversation on the shared goal rather than on who is right. Your credibility as a mediator depends entirely on both parties trusting your impartiality. How do you know when tension between a team member and a stakeholder needs intervention? Intervene when the tension begins affecting work quality, communication frequency drops, or one party starts going around the other. Waiting for a formal complaint is always too late. If you notice either person avoiding the other or copying in extra people unnecessarily, that is your signal to act. What should you avoid when managing tension with an external stakeholder? Never discuss one party's frustrations with the other. Avoid framing the situation as one person's fault, even if that feels accurate. Do not try to resolve deep conflict in a group setting before both individuals have been heard privately. Rushing the process creates resentment that outlasts the original friction. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.